Good.
I just thought I was going to put my phone on silent or on airplane. And then I was like, wait, I'm doing this thing where I don't even have a phone.
Yeah, the experiment.
And I haven't touched a phone and there's no phone in my pocket. Never mind an iPhone 14. There's no phone in my pocket for now over 24 hours because I'm doing this test with the Apple Watch Ultra as a replacement for an entire smartphone. Mm. And then the battery life has surprised me to the extent now that I'm into, I don't know, hour 28 or something. Mm. And I'm not dead yet. But anyway, I think for the purpose of this test, and it would be, you know, a daily life type of thing to put your watch in airplane mode or do not disturb or something like that. So that's what I'm going to do for the purpose of this show right now. And we'll check in on the battery life at the very end. We're down to 9% right now. For those of you looking for a teaser in the actual video, and who knows, Kirk or Mo, they may use this clip in the actual video.
So it actually might reach the 36.
Well, what's crazy about that is that I used it heavily yesterday in an attempt to diminish the battery. I've got AirPods connected to it, so I'm listening to music for hours. I've got Nav connected to it, so I'm, hopefully really stressing the data consumption and the cellular connection and so forth because I'm away from Wi-Fi. Like, I'm taking phone calls on the thing. I'm
what
texting on the thing. No brightness adjustment, just stock, but always on. Because I could extend this even further if I didn't have always on. Now, is my the thing that happens, all right, is that you just stop consuming on it, like you would do on a smartphone. On a smartphone, you pull it out for no good reason. If you're waiting for something, if you're sitting on a couch, you're just browsing and scrolling on a big bright screen. That's how you're killing the battery. It's not really work usually, for me at least, not work related tasks. I exercised with it. I had the heart rate going. I took it on the ice. It was a crazy day yesterday. I paid for everything with it that I bought that day.
Okay.
It's a crazy day.
I have a question about your Tesla. Like, how do you...
Well, I'm not driving that right now.
Okay. But you would have to have your phone?
Phone key. No, well, you could just have the card, I guess.
The card. Right.
Yeah, you have the card.
You have a wallet.
Well, these are things I'm discovering. Like, for example, YouTube music doesn't work on the watch without the phone.
Right.
So, but guess what works really well on the watch without the phone? Apple Music. What a surprise. I did sleep tracking last night, but I realized you can't really look at your sleep track data comprehensively on the watch itself. So Apple's leaving that mostly for the phone. So there are things that you bump into and notice. Slack, there's no Slack on here. So I'm not seeing any messages from you guys, which maybe that's the reason I'm so impressed. I'm like, look at this. I got all this free.
There's like 1,000 messages.
Of course, when the phone is there, the notification from Slack comes through to the wrist, but the dedicated app is not there. So there are these weird little things that you notice. It's not to say that the device is not capable. It's to say that the software in every case doesn't exist. Some work better than others.
Right.
But it doesn't really, like, the experiment, I think, has already exceeded my expectation because my initial kind of experience with the watch was like, why is this thing running out of battery so fast? But I guess, I don't know if it's software. I don't know if it's me paying more attention to it or what, but this latest charge, like I'm on a charge from right now from 10 that I took off the charger at 10:30 a.m. yesterday at the time of filming this. Do you understand what I'm saying right now?
Yeah.
So I'm just paying close attention to it and treating it more like a phone. And then that helps you to, well, but not treating it like a phone in the sense that you're just, maybe I was frugal with it in other moments. It's all very complex. I think it would have to be a longer period of time over the course of a week to really come to your conclusion. Maybe I'll do that as well. This video is obviously running out because this is going to hit zero soon. It's 9% at 220. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, yes, you can use it as your main communication device. I'm happy to break that on this show right here.
Really?
To break that news on this show right here, because this will come out probably before the video comes out. I realize I just kind of spoiled it. So what? You'll go watch it anyways, because you got to see all the different activities I get into with this watch. And yet, like, I can't dent the battery life. Like, it just takes me forever to dent the battery life with all these features turned on.
Have you tried the sleep tracking?
Sleep tracking was last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying to kill it. The night before, I was like, no, I'm going to go 100% off the charger. But the problem is, like I told you, since I haven't turned on my phone in over 24 hours, all I see on the sleep tracking is the amount of time slept. And then, I can set the reminder for when to go to bed and when to wake up. But the detailed analysis is in the phone.
Right.
So there's these weird things where I wish each app was more comprehensive. Maybe it will be. But it's just not, it doesn't exist that way yet based on my experience.
Okay.
So like if I go into the sleep tracker on here right now, and this is good because I'll use a little bit of battery life doing this, which I'm trying to do because people are like, it's only 9%. It's going to die any second. It is not going to die any second because 2.5 hours ago, 3 hours ago, it was 12%.
Right.
So if you're just chilling in a work environment with Wi-Fi, like a studio like this, this thing is not draining.
Yeah, I feel like cellular makes a big difference.
I think most people, this will just be in a pinch. Maybe you could take it on a vacation if you're trying to detox from your phone and still have all your communication with it. There's many ways in which this is better than a dumb phone. I realize it's still $1,000, but you have your voice assistant. You have your navigation still in there. Like some people were trying to detox by going to a phone that was lacking everything. And really what you're trying to kill is the distraction.
Right.
And the distraction is maybe I should look at my phone right now. Or I'm going to answer this message, but why am I looking at this social media app now, half an hour later? So it is interesting what it does psychologically to you, not having a phone in your pocket, which has been the case for me for an extended period of time based on this test. Anyway, top story does also have to do with the iPhone 14. I should also mention we shot a big portion of the Ultra video on the iPhone 14 Pro. So you get a chance to see that new camera, new video in a number of different environments and situations as well. The iPhone 14 keeps calling 911 on roller coasters. Yeah, I saw this breaking on Twitter yesterday. A lot of people thought this was funny. It is the new crash detection feature. And this makes total sense.
Just whipping around.
Yeah, this makes total sense. Yeah. There's probably other circumstances, like maybe, I don't know, mountain biking or anything where you're really getting whipped around.
Yeah.
Where you could trigger the crash detection. Now, thankfully, there's a prompt that comes on the display. Thank you, Mo. Mo just delivered a beautiful coffee right now. Oh, I don't know if anybody noticed that. Shout out Mo for two reasons, because he's been working with me on the watch video. Mo and I were together yesterday.
Was he skating?
No, he did not skate.
Oh.
But him and I were together yesterday from 10:30 to 10:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m.
Wow.
And so whatever, I mean, there's all types
that
of
special
intimate updates going on with that. But listen, this is not a surprise to me. It's obviously not ideal. I don't know if they can sort out this algorithm so they can tell the difference between a roller coaster. Maybe through GPS, they could identify, oh, you're at a theme park. We know there's a known theme park there. We're probably not going to trigger it. Apple rolled out crash detection with this new iPhone 14 Watch Series 8 and Ultra last month, equipping the devices with a gyroscopic sensor and high G accelerometer trained on the impact experienced with simulated car crashes. The sensors detect that you've been in an accident. Your iPhone will display an alert and call emergency services if you don't dismiss it within 20 seconds. Well, so the problem here is you're on a roller coaster. You cannot reach your phone in your pocket, nor would you pull it out with
it. And it would be really loud and, you know.
Oh, that's why it's going through and totally calling 911. It's going to the dispatch because in 20 seconds you can't slide it and say, no, I'm okay. Because I guess a roller coaster probably takes like a minute or something to be over, maybe more. Maybe a minute. I don't know how long a typical roller coaster takes, but long enough to call 911. Since the iPhone 14 went on sale, this is a tweet from Joanna Stern. The 911 dispatch center near Kings Island Amusement Park has received at least 6 phone calls saying the owner of this iPhone was in a severe crash, except the owner was on a roller coaster. Yeah. Not ideal. I guess law enforcement is probably pretty upset with this because how do they know the difference between a real one and a fake one? And then did they just start ignoring all of them?
Just blacklist.
Stern says Warren County, where Kings Island is located, received 6 emergency calls. Also points out that other users have experienced similar issues at amusement parks across the country. Bringing smartphones on rides is not a smart idea to begin with. That's a good point. Probably leave the smart, but I don't know where you're going to put it That's a problem. I think they give you a little locker. Have you been to a theme park recently?
Yeah, I have. There's cubbies, and you could just put them in there. And it's right beside the ride, so there's people looking at them.
Security, you still I guess. Can't really lock it, though.
No.
So when you were at the theme park then, did you take the phone on the coaster, or did you leave it? Do you remember?
I don't remember, actually. I took off my glasses.
Well, glasses. I don't think anyone's going to steal your prescription.
Yeah.
That's a little tougher to steal, but...
I probably did, actually. Maybe in like a little fanny pack. Put it in there, you know?
Well, listen. I think in the vast majority of cases, nothing is stolen, but it would not be a fun experience if something went missing either. However, if you're on the roller coaster and it flies out of your pocket somehow, not too fun either. So you think about it, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, the other big news here is the MetaQuest Pro. This happened moments ago at the time of filming.
Yep.
There was a big presentation for this. It's, well, it's in the name. It's Pro. So they're really targeting business with this Quest by the looks of it. It's $1,500.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be for everyone, especially since they still sell a much more affordable...
Yeah, it's like $399, $299.
Quest headset. Now... I don't know, because maybe I got into the presentation late. Well, no, you can see here they're doing a lot of work-related, design-related promo in the thing. They're not showing people playing games. I presume you can play games, obviously.
Yes.
But it's interesting they're targeting, the way they're targeting it. Our most advanced headset yet, a whole new way to work, create, and collaborate. So they're not even really mentioning the gamer in this scenario. Mm-hmm. They think it's a totally different... target market. World-class counterbalanced ergonomics meets sleek design to create a more comfortable headset. Full color mixed reality with resolution 4 times higher compared to Quest 2 lets you work, create, and collaborate in the virtual world while staying present in the physical world. Real-time expression tracking allows your avatar to mimic your facial expressions, smiles, eyebrow raises, winks, and all. Well, definitely need that. Mm. Need to see all those facial expressions in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Man, my brows, imagine my brows in the metaverse. It includes 3 cameras, Snapdragon 662 mobile processor per controller for 360 degree range of motion in virtual space, true touch haptic feedback, precision pinch create, and more intuitive VR feel. You'll notice better visual clarity, slim down the optical stack by over 40% compared to Quest 2 using innovative patented pancake lens and optic technology, which works by folding light inside the optical module. Advanced VR LCD display technology that provides 37% greater pixels per inch and 1.3 times larger color gamut that provides more vibrant colors to deliver a more engaging VR experience.
Can I chime in here?
Absolutely.
I just think that they really need to figure out the manual focusing for glasses. So you can take out the glasses and you can actually just focus, and then it would have your prescription in there. Just like the DJI Avada drone.
You had where, to...
Yeah.
That where, you've been goofing around with, the little FPV?
Yeah, where you don't even need glasses. You can just like tune your prescription.
Does that work for all types of prescriptions?
I think so.
Or only like simple type of ailments? I'm curious about that because, you know, people have a lot of different eye things going on. Some just need a magnification per eye. Others there's like a lens correction for the shape of the eye and like
pupil distance.
Well, stuff. Like in your case, how does yours?
It just tunes it so it's sharp.
No, I understand. But I'm saying your prescription is fixing what specifically? Or do you know?
It's just distance.
Far.
Everything's blurry. Yeah. Far.
So just magnification.
I guess so. Everything's just clear once I focus it, but it's manual. I couldn't do that in the Quest 2. I had to get like prescription lenses and slot them in.
What?
Yeah. And I hope that this version, being $1,500, they'll be able to do that.
I would assume so. I mean, I don't know, but I would assume so. If they expect you to be in here working all the time, I assume they're going to have to figure something out for glasses.
Yeah.
At $1,500 USD.
They need to.
Some other hardware specs. 10 advanced VR MR sensors, spatial audio, 256 gigabytes of storage, 12 gigs of RAM, and a Snapdragon XR2 Plus processor, delivering 50% more power for better performance. Multitasking made easy, multiple resizable screens, and a companion charging dock, which looks pretty cool. You just drop it on top of it, rapid USB-C charging. It keeps your headset and controllers charged, so when creativity strikes, you'll be ready to bring ideas to life.
Hmm.
Oh, wait a second. Was that regarding the lenses right there? Continuous IPD adjustment for better visual clarity and less eye strain, 55 to 75 millimeters.
Oh, I hope so.
I don't know what that's about, but it's something to do with making it more comfortable to look at.
Okay.
The entire presentation, they were talking about work and not just creativity, but also just like meeting in boardrooms and Microsoft Teams and work from home scenarios where you're in a virtual space with a group of people. So, I mean, is this is a big step, I guess, for towards Meta's big vision, Mark's big vision, that we would be able to wear these things for longer periods of time, and that this would be the gateway to our future reality, or at least our metaverse, whatever that, however many hours we're expected to spend in it. So apparently it's extremely comfortable. I don't know what the battery life is. I'm not sure if they shared that. But what do you think, Will? Is this the future, or will we test one of these? Will they send us one of these? Probably.
Yeah, I shot an email.
Okay.
And I guess we can pre-order one as well. But yeah, I'm excited. I think this is really cool in terms of the hardware. Their software has been pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, you're a big Meta guy. You're a big Zuckerberg guy.
I think 1500 is tough.
Because everyone's always so critical, but you're a fan of Quest, so then that kind of brought you in a little bit.
I like the experiences, but 1500 is a tough sell.
Yeah.
Especially if everyone has to get it.
In your workplace. In your
workspace.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Meta would love to make those sales.
Oh, yeah.
You got to sell to a whole team. Look at the way it looks in here. See, they're collaborating. Look at this. Writing on the board. Yeah. Listen, everybody's at home anyway, right?
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, everybody seems to prefer that. And then companies are sitting there saying, but what about our culture? Where's the collaboration? Uh-huh. It's a way of monitoring the person actually being there. It's not like a Zoom meeting where I can turn my camera off and be like, yeah, I'm there. Yeah, great meeting. Great meeting. Thanks for that. Like, in this case, I presume people can tell if you're physically present or not. Physically. Virtually present.
Virtually, yeah.
If your physical body is virtually present.
Although you make a great point when you're talking to Mo about how working in virtual reality, there's still screens.
Yeah, it's bizarre. You're in virtual reality, but it's just screens in
there's
another space
screens.
Instead of the screens you already have in your current space.
Yeah.
But I guess there is more flexibility going world to world eventually.
Sure,
you can just click on different rooms and each of those rooms has different screens. But Microsoft was showing off Flight Simulator and it was just a screen of a Flight Simulator. It wasn't like a VR version of Flight Simulator.
Right.
In the case of this headset. So anyway, listen. This is difficult stuff going on over here. Like, trying to execute this stuff is...
Oh, for sure.
My God. There's so many things that have to be built, and everyone is so critical.
Hmm.
So that's where we're at, though. I think not only critical, but skeptical. I don't know that people have decided that this is the future they want yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for games where it's just like, okay, that's entertainment. But then when the pitch comes along for work and people start to imagine the amount of hours you put into work, and if you want to have this substitute, if you want to be in this headset for that extended period of time.
Yeah. I mean, Microsoft tried it with HoloLens and it's AR.
AR is a bit different. I mean, this is what? This is AR and VR, right? Both?
There's pass through, so you can see
there's
the room around
through.
You.
Right.
Then, yeah.
We'll see.
It's cool.
We'll see. He wants everything, though. You can just tell. You watch the presentation. Zuckerberg's like, no. You can tell the investment level with the cameras moving around and the teleprompters and such. Like, yeah, he's fired in. Up. This he's is his in. Thing. This is his deal. This yeah. is his future, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So you go along for the ride or decide what you want to do.
Sure.
All YouTube users will soon have an account handled, but some will get to pick theirs earlier. Oh, yeah. I got an email or a notification about this.
Okay.
And it's inside of Creator Studio. That in order to make it easier for communication across the platform, someone can mention you in a comment or something by using your @ instead of... Like, because I don't know if you remember, it used to be Google Plus integration and you would use the plus symbol to tag somebody.
Mm.
But that's antiquated at this point. And the web is very familiar with the @ idea across the likes of Twitter and Instagram and so on. So this will transition to an @ symbol in order for these communications to take place. And the message that I got is if you already have what would you call it? Oh, a custom URL, which there's certain parameters that you have to meet in order to have a custom URL. So not all channels have a custom URL. Some just have a string of characters.
Mm.
But if you already have a custom URL, my understanding is then you will transition to, or this @ will be reserved for you.
Gotcha.
I presume. That seems to be my takeaway from reading the email that I got. This makes a lot of sense, obviously. Oh, by the way, having a custom URL, Will's looking for the parameters here. New custom URLs can no longer be set up, and existing custom URLs can no longer be changed. Existing custom URLs will continue to work. If you must permanently delete your custom URL, you can do so by deleting the channel. Oh, wow. This is an update as of October 10th. That's yesterday. A custom URL is an easy to remember channel URL that you can share with your audience. Wow. So they're getting rid of custom URLs in general, except for those that already have it. They'll continue to support that, but they really want to move away from the idea of URLs, which kind of makes sense as well. But that's a bit weird, because if you have a, like on Twitter, for example, if I want to, I can go twitter.com/unboxtherapy as a URL, but I can also be @ unboxtherapy. So it's kind of nice to have both still.
Sure.
Which, of course, for me will be fine, but I'm thinking for anybody else that doesn't have that custom URL yet, and now they're only going to get the @ thing. Well, let's see the quote from YouTube here. We want to ensure creators can craft an identity as unique as their content while giving viewers the confidence that they are interacting with their favorite creators. YouTube says in its blog, creators will still have a channel name, but handles will be unique, potentially cutting down on impersonator accounts. Good Lord, don't get me started on impersonator accounts. Those, it's real ugly out there with the impersonator accounts going on. So I don't know how this verification will work. They say that you want to give away or something, and then people will get in touch, and it's often like Telegram or WhatsApp or whatever, and it's just not good. Not a good situation. And you would think a company at the scale of Google would have a strategy for demolishing that, but apparently not. And I mean, even Twitter struggles with it too. Where there's enough of an incentive, it feels like people figure out a way to exploit.
Yeah.
So hopefully this system is better. I don't think it's going to be perfect. This seems to be no such thing. YouTube says it will roll out notifications based on factors like overall presence on the platform, subscriber count, and whether the channel is active. Claiming a handle could also be the push needed for creators who aren't on YouTube to join the platform or tend to their account. Users typically need 100 or more subscribers to create a custom URL. A notice says choosing, modifying, and deleting URLs is currently on pause. The addition of handles brings YouTube further in line with TikTok, just as the company doubles down on its investment into Shorts. Last month, YouTube announced it would bring monetization to Shorts, letting creators keep 45%. So yeah, it is like the rest of the internet. The rest of the internet basically decided we're going to do @ handles. And so YouTube is basically doing the same thing. Well, stick with Google for a second. Google Stadium may become reality after Stadia shut down. That was hard for me to say all that. Google Stadium, no more Stadia. According to a new report, Google is exploring the naming rights to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The Athletic's David Ornstein has today unveiled that Google is in talks with Premier League side Tottenham Hotspur for naming rights to its three-year-old stadium. Longtime Tottenham chairman Daniel Levy has previously confirmed that naming rights deal would be viable if the right band with the right money. Does he mean brand?
I think so.
Not band? He's not looking for...
the Google band?
He's not looking for Blackpink?
Oh, probably.
Are they a band or a group? I guess a band needs instruments. I don't know. Do they have instruments? I don't
know.
Am I out of line here?
They have
instruments. They have instruments because they have their voice. Don't forget, Will.
All right, sure.
They have the beautiful voice. With the right money, Tottenham moved from its old ground, White Hart Lane, 2017. Team briefly played matches at Wembley Stadium before moving to the purpose-built Hotspur Stadium, 2019. According to the latest report, Google and Tottenham are in meaningful talks. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of moolah right there. Meaningful talks cost money, Will. Many other English Premier League clubs have home stadia. Wow, this article's got stuff going on, dude. All kinds of spelling errors. Home stadium renamed due to naming rights deal. Prominent examples include North London rival Arsenal with the Gunners ground, officially known as the Emirates Stadium. Well, yeah, of course you can do this. This is very common practice, at least in North America, where you would spend a boatload of money, like the crypto Staples Center, turn it into crypto.com and all that. And these things cost, you pay a lot of money for these naming rights. So I would think pretty much everybody would be open to it if it named the price. What's weird is that stadium there has an NFL logo on it. I don't know what that's about. What is this? Do they play American football games as well?
Maybe.
Every so often, maybe.
Maybe it's a NFL deal.
It's just way too prominent, that logo.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't know. This must be some kind of a mock-up. So Stadia goes down. Google Stadium goes up.
Well said.
I wonder which one costs more money. I still think Stadia probably cost them a couple bucks more.
Too many controllers.
Chevy Silverado EV prototype seen fast charging at EA station. Oh, Electrify America station. Is that like matte black?
It kind of looks like it, eh?
Yeah, it does look like matte black. Well, I think it's this one is something. Yeah, this one is murdered out so that it's less obvious on the road, because I guess these are not in the world yet.
No.
But they should be shortly, because you've seen them at the auto shows and stuff like that. It is kind of like the Hummer EV, just way less cool looking.
Well, but the front looks kind of cool, eh?
No, it's cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but I'm just saying, if you've seen the Hummer EV, which of course I have, then that's just a little bit more fun than the Silverado. That's all I'm saying, Will.
Okay, sure. I mean,
no need to get too upset. But you see what they're doing with the bed of the truck? See how it has that similar kind of overhang thing behind the rear window?
Mm.
But maybe that's the only similarity, really.
It seems really like bottom heavy.
What does this truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that piece of trim even real? Yes. No, because I think you would normally have a sidestep there. And sure. I don't know how much we can judge this exact unit. One of the most anticipated EVs coming this year is 2023 Chevy Silverado EV. Appears to have fewer exposed or painted cover metal holes in the wheel wells. We have a much closer look at the vehicle thanks to Reddit user Snoo74401. We didn't get any shots of the speed of charging, though GM says it will top out at a whopping 350 kilowatts. Speedy charging. You might even call it whopping, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a couple cool features I'm interested in. It does look a lot like that one. I'm interested in checking out, including the portion of the bed there, which is the back seats, which go down to create an even longer load space. Which is pretty cool. See, the charge section is almost identical to the Hummer, if you recall. But maybe we'll get a chance to take a look at this one. Although I'm assuming when they send us one, it will not be murdered out like that. Listen, all types of options over here in the electric truck space now. Never mind the Hummer. This is the real mover as far as volume is concerned.
Yes.
Silverado versus F-150 Lightning versus whatever Ram does when they ever do it.
The Rivian?
Well, Rivian.
Some would say.
Well, Rivian's, a different price point.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing about Rivian.
You're talking about the everyday.
Yeah, I'm talking about the big, you know, the big part of the market that's looking to those brands to figure stuff out and to get close to that 50 grand as opposed to the 100 grand.
Mm.
I saw this story.
Cybertruck.
Twitch streamer broke her back after jumping. This foam pit situation is just, it's yeah. brutal, man. Like, I watched this clip, you know, because I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I come to find out it's not even the first injury that takes place in there.
Yeah, there were many people who got injured.
And it's just interesting how it works in your head that you see a foam pit. I mean, it's not interesting. It's obvious. You see a foam pit, you think it's going to be very soft.
You jump in there immediately?
You just think it's going to be soft. And it doesn't look soft at all.
No.
It just looks like hitting concrete. Now, granted, you look to the outside and then... In retrospect, having jumped, you realize what you're really in for because you look to the side and you realize,
yeah, there's no dugout.
No, it's just the concrete floor and then some cubes. And if you miss hitting mostly foam cube, you're just floor. It's just going to be floor at that point.
Yeah, unfortunately,
off the pedestal.
They had to find out the hard way.
And now in this case, Adriana hit the floor on the tailbone, direct impact. She had knocked off the other streamer, I assume. The whole thing was being streamed. And this is the tweet. I broke my back in two places. I'm getting surgery to put a meter rod in for support. Send your support. When it rains, it pours. I'm definitely feeling the rain right now. And it's just brutal. Obviously, the responsibility here is whoever is building and monitoring this thing,
yeah,
to create, I mean, nothing is ever 100% safe, but like something closer to an actual foam pit if you're going to do this at all.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to do this, you're going to need to build those walls up higher and have people climb into it so that you have more foam. Uh-huh. Do you understand what I mean? You're going to have a whole different construction for this thing.
Yeah, and I looked at Twitter, and someone posted like a real correct way to build a foam pit, and it's deep. It's supposed to be like...
At least twice as deep as it was.
Way deeper.
Three times as deep.
It's supposed to have a net underneath as well to carry all the foam.
And then you hit, and then the net has give to it as well. Yeah, yes. You're talking about in like a... In an actual kind of permanent setting where people are jumping on trampolines and...
Yes.
Yeah, of course, I've seen those. And that's, I think, what people that were at this event were imagining when they saw this foam pit, is they were imagining something like that.
Yes.
And that is not what they were looking at.
No.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. And as many people mentioned on Twitter, when it comes to a back injury, this is the most sensitive. I mean, you're talking about the spinal cord. You're talking about the nerves. And in some cases, this thing is never the same, Will.
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Many cases.
Yeah.
Trust me. I get it. You got to go deeper with the, of course.
Mm.
They even have a trampoline at the very bottom. So it has give to it. It's a recessed trampoline.
So what happens next? Do you think she's going to sue Twitch?
Not Twitch. I don't
or
think.
Or whoever holds TwitchCon.
Well, no. So the actual thing was put on by Lenovo.
Oh.
That actual booth was put on by Lenovo Legion.
Okay.
Now... I don't know to what extent they're responsible for the construction. Do they hire that out? Is the convention center in any way involved? Is the convention in any way? You see what I'm saying, Will?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I don't have those answers. Here, I guess, is a comment from Lenovo. We are aware of the incidents of TwitchCon visitors who sustained injuries in the Gladiator game. Soft foam pit. Not very soft after all. Lenovo booth. Lenovo communications officer Lisa Marie Farrell told Gizmodo in an email, safety remains our top priority and we are working with event organizers to look into the incident. So again, it's like, is there an event organizer and then Lenovo is just sponsoring the event, or do they have their people there actually running the booth? These are all questions that are going to come out, I'm sure, in the coming weeks, answers that are going to come out via questions in the coming weeks. But when you have multiple people injured in a short period of time, and you've obviously done something, you've obviously failed. You've obviously failed to do what you had hoped to do. You did not hope to do that. That wasn't the goal. And now you're going to have to make up for it. And I mean, obviously, in some cases, you can't even really make up for it, Will. Because if you all
this is a lifelong injury.
Yes, if your back is screwed up for the rest of your life, see, it seems to really depend on the way that you land, you know?
Well, of course.
If you can kind of land sideways instead of, that's the busted knee?
Dislocated knee.
Can we see that one again? This was the other injury? I hadn't seen this clip. So the other person falls off kind of sideways. She just goes in. Wow, it is so weird what happens, how your body is not prepared for the fall, so you're not really bracing yourself. So in this case, she is assuming it's going to be way more foamy. And so she just kind of drops in without really bracing the knee or the hip or anything.
Yeah.
And you can just see the knee buckle here. Wham. Oh. Ah. Dislocated knee. And a sprained ankle. I will never be able to trust Twitch at another convention in my entire life. That's the thing. We read about it, right? And we're doing the report on it. Or we're just, you know, like everybody else, reading about it. And then, but you have distance from it. But if you've ever had a serious injury, which I have, I don't know if you have. I have. It's intense, man. You could be out for a long period of time. Your whole daily activities change. You may never approach things in the exact same fashion. You know, we're just these biological
meat sacks.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal out here. So I hope everybody gets better or as good as possible. You know what I mean? I hope everybody can recover and it's not like that. And the modern miracles of medicine, they can put people back together and it's going to be okay. Yeah. That's the hope. And then obviously for whoever's involved in this can contribute to try to make it right in some way or another. Mm. So Twitch, the convention center, Lenovo, whoever it is. I saw this one. William Shatner says his trip to space on Blue Origin felt like a funeral. It was among the strongest feelings of grief I have ever encountered.
Quite an epiphany there.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
It would be a fairly incredible experience, Will. You leave the planet, you're looking back at the planet. Huh. I mean, I'm sure you'd agree with that, no?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I'm not sure you could predict how you would feel in that circumstance.
Huh. Definitely emotional. I would feel something.
I think a lot of it depends on what stage you're at in your own life as well.
Sure.
In his case, getting to the tail end of, I don't know how old he is, but let's figure it out. But, you know, he's been alive for a long time. 91 years. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's 91 years old.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
He's going Blue Origin at 91. Wow. That's pretty cool. I also didn't know he was born in Montreal. So there you go. But anyway, so he goes up there and he wrote a book about it, I guess. The Star Trek actor went to space with Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin last October when he was 90. All I saw was death. It was among the strongest feelings of grief I have ever encountered. Going to space has proven to be a dark experience for William Shatner. In his new book, Boldly Go, Reflections on a Life of Awe and Wonder, I love the mystery of the universe, he wrote. All of that has thrilled me for years, but when I looked in the opposite direction into space, there was no mystery, no majestic awe to behold. All I saw was death. Cold, dark, black emptiness, unlike anything on Earth. My trip to space was supposed to be a celebration. Instead, it felt like a funeral. It was among the strongest feelings of grief I've ever encountered. The contrast between the vicious coldness of space and the warm nurturing of Earth below filled me with overwhelming sadness. I don't think this is the promotion that Bezos was hoping for these trips to space.
It's like, well, can you brighten up a little bit?
He's like, tone it down, man.
Yeah.
All I see is death, thanks to Jeff. Everything I had thought was wrong. Everything I had expected to see was wrong. I had a different experience because I discovered that the beauty isn't out there. It's down here. With all of us, leaving that behind made my connection to our tiny planet even more profound. Well, I guess that's important.
Yeah.
So you go up there and then you get a sense for how special Earth is. You come back, you're treating people nicely. So
everyone should go to space.
That's okay. Right? I guess that's okay. I mean, the key is with a profound experience, sometimes it can be an intense reflection that can lead you toward, like you need to be kind of jogged or jarred out of your routine in order to see things for what they actually are, in order to appreciate. Like, it can't be the regular day-to-day. You sometimes, things can feel so normal that you lose sight of how amazing everyday things are. And yes. I presume that if you're up in space staring back at Earth and you're no longer on it, you're like, man, I want to go back. I got unfinished business. I got to go talk to this person. I like that person. And Earth is pretty beautiful, actually. Well,
it is.
It's pretty. It's decent.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But you just don't even think about it because, well, you don't know anywhere else. So now you know some other place and it's a little less inviting, at least. Maybe there is a more inviting place out there.
Yeah.
But when you're in the Blue Origin and you're just exiting here and
it's quiet
and you're just seeing blackness,
cold.
You're a long ways away from another inviting place.
Yeah.
So, but.
Great insight.
I really do believe that a big part of it is the point that you're at in life. So you go up there at 91 years old, you're going to reflect on your own life. You're going to reflect on appreciation for things. You're going to feel nostalgic for home and all the rest of it.
Just appreciation.
Yeah, it's just a different stage, right? But it's different personalities are going to feel it differently as well. So, Kanye West locked out of Twitter for anti-Semitic tweet one day after being restricted on Instagram.
Have you been following
this? I have not been following this at all, other than the tweet where Kanye called out Zuckerberg and said, we used to be
homies.
No, I don't think he said homies. I believe he said N-word.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He said, yeah. Look at this, Mark. How are you going to kick me off Instagram? And then it's a picture of them
singing karaoke.
It looks like karaoke. But it's an old photo.
Yeah.
Mark's looking young over there. So I guess it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Either way, Elon replies to that and says, welcome back to Twitter, my friend. And of course, he hadn't tweeted in a long time, Kanye.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah, it was a long time.
So he came back. He had been mostly into Instagram for communication, social media. And then he went back to Twitter, and he was welcomed by Elon. Twitter confirmed to Gizmodo on Sunday that Ye's account had been locked. So he got... Why did he get kicked off Instagram in the first place? Do you know?
I don't actually.
Okay. Well, anyway, as far as the Twitter account getting locked, he posted an anti-Semitic tweet saying he was going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. In the same tweet, he added, he can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jews. And then that was removed due to violation of the platform's policies. Twitter's move comes one day after his Instagram account was restricted for insinuating that the rapper Diddy, whose real name is Sean Combs, was being controlled by Jews. Woof. Oh my goodness gracious. His words were condemned by Jewish advocacy groups, and notably Twitter's lockout of Ye stands in stark contrast to the warm welcome given to him by the platform's future owner, Tesla CEO Elon Musk. Well, that remains to be seen with whether or not he'll be the future owner, but
he welcomed them and then he got kicked off.
So this, him welcoming, happened prior to these other tweets. Yes. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And, but he didn't take back the welcome. So is Kanye's account still locked at this point? Oh, wait. Scroll down. Talked to Ye today and expressed my concerns about his recent tweet, which I think he took to heart. Okay.
Yeah.
And this stuff is hard to follow. It seems at this point, we're in a loop of Kanye like saying things that he knows are going to get a reaction. Like intentionally shocking, sensitive, controversial. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then the internet responds. What is this now? A new music video? Is he putting out new music?
A vlog. He vlogged.
So what are you suggesting here, Will, by going to this video?
He's just trying a bunch of stuff, I think.
Just attention. It's very hard for me to continue to figure out how to break this down because I don't understand the motive really, other than pay attention to me. Like can't see any other strong motive. Obviously he has the God component and he has his family, which seems to matter to him greatly. He's constantly referencing them. But then there'll be these type of little outbursts about other subjects that are not immediately connected to those other interests, at least seemingly not, which aim to get all the other eyeballs back in that direction.
Yes. And this recent vlog really paints a picture of his life, I think, because there's some intimate moments. He's sharing like a basketball game that his daughter was playing. And Kim was there. And he was talking about Donda and
the problem with this is like generalizations. It's just too many generalizations.
He's always trying something different.
No, but it's just too many generalizations. It's not talking with enough nuance. Like, and I get it that can be exhausting. It's exhausting, right? To always have to have specifics or disclaimers or to walk two steps forward and one step back and saying, maybe this is like this or like that. But the problem is when you just go so vague and so general, you're equally not really saying anything.
But I do believe that if we actually follow him on his daily basis, like just being a fly on the wall, I think it would make more sense. But for the stuff
I don't think so. When you have these grand generalizations about this is like this because this, right? It's like the opposite of going to space and looking back at the planet. It's claiming to have an answer for everything. It's just not open enough to the nuance of actual life. Like, it just, in my experience, it doesn't really work that way.
So maybe he's just trying too much at the same time.
I think some people are desperate for answers and they will, configure reality in such a way, even accept certain things so that they can, it's a comforting experience to say this is like this because this, as opposed to like living in the looseness and scrambled eggs of the chaos that we find ourselves, which is fine. I think in some cases that can actually work for people. But in his case, when it starts affecting people and targeting people specifically, that's when it starts to go south and get sour. Mm-hmm. When you start targeting a particular person or a group or whatever, yeah, people do belong to groups, but it's not... I don't know. I find it's just unfortunate. I get it. It doesn't... Nuance doesn't sell, Will. Like, nuance is not going to gather all the attention at once. Mm. It's that the nuance portion is the small part of the funnel, not the big part. Mm. And when you're in pop culture and you've got a variety of motivations relying on your ability to stay relevant in pop culture and continue to be a part of pop culture, then sometimes you want to take the shortcut or the shorter path, which is reactionary and or elicits reactions from others more directly and immediately. You just want that strong feedback like that. Yeah. Like, imagine, like, Will, you can start typing things today, controversial things, and all of a sudden your engagement is going to go through the roof. Even, like, you right now, you can go to your Twitter and people can be like, what is this guy up to? But they're going to pay attention because they're going to be like, what is going, and everybody has to a certain extent that responsibility on them at any given time.
Sure.
Depending on how, and that could be a problem too, where people don't say anything because they're so worried about the
backlash
possibility of it. And then they save all their real conversations for private life.
Yeah. But talking about anti-Semitic stuff, I mean, yeah, just keep that to yourself.
Well, but here's the argument when it comes to banning people is he keeps it to, let's say he keeps it to himself.
But you know that he's like,
is that any better though? Like, is it?
But you're stirring the pot at that point. And you know that you're going
to
get
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is for people who choose to follow him specifically, don't they want to know the whole picture? You don't want to follow somebody you feel like is being dishonest or not telling you the way they're actually viewing things. That's way riskier.
For sure.
Like, but he's got fans. He's got a lot of fans.
You can do that. Like, it's not impossible.
I know, but I'm not saying that that's any better. Is he waiting to get elected and then let it out? Whatever those thoughts happen to be? Is he, what's with the 2024 hat? Is he waiting to put it on a record? Is he going to wait to sell you a shirt? Like, in a way, you know, continued support for somebody that has feelings that maybe don't align with yours is something that's helpful for you as a potential follower or fan.
Sure. Having it out there and let people decide that they don't agree with it.
The question is, what is the true motivation?
You can talk about some really heinous stuff and, like, just for attention.
For sure you can. You know? But but obviously that's
but I think
that's your own motivation, and people at least can then spot that motivation.
I just think as big as he is, he should have a bit of responsibility.
That's out the window. That's been out the window for years, man.
Well, he should know.
It's been out the window.
Yeah.
Like, I think now it's loose. It's really loose now. And we'll see how social media behaves, because I don't know how much it matters to him to have a presence on social media. I don't know how he'll get his word out. He obviously continues to talk about Trump, and Trump doesn't have a social media presence, and he continues to talk about him in a fond way. So maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't mind getting kicked off of all this social media. Maybe that's what will end up happening at some point.
Yeah. Anyways, on a lighter note, did you ever want to hear Steve Jobs and Rogan talk on a podcast?
AI-generated Joe Rogan chats up Steve Jobs over his use of LSD spat with Gizmodo. Podcast.ai generated a fake audio recording using artificial voices and language model transcripts based on Rogan and Jobs' old public speeches and keynotes. Wow.
Yeah.
Can we listen to a taste of it?
We can.
This podcast.
You're like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Ghost. You're a memory from the past. So without further ado, my friend who is difficult to describe and wonderful, and I'm so grateful he came on the show.
How's it going? Good to see you, buddy. It's been a long time since I've been on the show.
Okay.
I've missed this. It's always fun.
How's it going? Come on. Tell me about Jobs. It's always good to see you, buddy. I'm so happy you came on, man.
Yeah, it's great to be on the show. Your audience is just so different from your normal Apple users, and that's a good thing. It's cool.
Well, you know, I was an Apple user way before I did this show. I've been a fan of yours and Macintosh since the 1980s.
Hmm. Well, you know,
the laughing is so strange.
Even though Apple is big, it's still like 0.5% of the total users. People who listen to your show are a different group. They're weird.
Well, that's good. So you must be a fan of the show then, right?
I am. I am a fan.
Can you hear this?
I mean, it's nice to sit back in the car and listen to you rant.
Oh.
I've always liked you.
Well,
yeah, we're live. Did you want to check up on the watch? Is that what you're doing?
We have some weird tie, which hooks into the fact that I was a big fan of Gizmodo, and I still go there all the time, but then there was some controversy or something.
Well, you know, we always thought it was very funny. We were as surprised to see that stuff as you guys were to see it on Gizmodo. It's kind of a game to us.
I got you, man. That's cool. So let's talk about
it's not bad. It's very video game-like, where there's something about the timing that we're we're so aware of.
And the awkward laughs.
The laughing is... we could do without the laughing, I guess.
I think so. The tone, I feel like, is getting there.
Mo's just doing a quick checkup on battery life. We are at 9% still. I put the watch into airplane mode because we were filming.
It's been an hour.
And it's just sitting at 9%. So if you ever need to save the battery for an extended period of time, you can do that too. I haven't even hit battery saver mode. I've just put on airplane mode for the purpose of filming this. So we're stacking up some pretty wild hours here. Pretty wild. Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely cool technology. That's twice Mo has almost died tripping over. Let's put the skate. Because if you crack your skull or something... We're not, none of us are really trained for that.
And we're also filming a show here.
And we're also filming a show. So what does that mean, Will? You wouldn't get up if you cried? What are you trying to say?
No, I would. That would.
You would, right?
Definitely.
We could just put the show down for a second and go over there and save his life, I would hope. Well,
I'm just joking, Mo. I got you, buddy.
He almost did the exact same thing over there when we were filming earlier.
Really?
He rides in on a skateboard, then he leaves it directly behind his feet, and he'll be backing up with the camera or something and step on it. And
knowing Mo, he would like to protect the camera, so his head might, you know.
Protect the camera, not the head? Not an even trade. So this was a 20-minute fake interview, surreal and occasionally funny. Yeah, it could be funny in like an absurd way. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you, buddy. Yeah, it's cool. The Rogan part sounded better than the Jobs part.
Yeah.
But there's a huge database you could train the Rogan part with. Hours and hours on end. He said every word. Mm. Every word in the English language has been said by Rogan at one point or another. Mm-hmm. 3-hour-long conversations times however many. This is funny because it's also on the Gizmodo website.
Yes.
And they made the Gizmodo reference about the... The iPhone 4 leak. God, that's a long time ago. Mm. So anyway, this is an AI-based text-to-voice generator. According to the podcast.ai site, Jobs' voice was generated by the AI language models using recordings of the famed Apple founder. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's kind of, I guess it's a similar concept to DALL-E and OpenAI's GPT language models.
Mm-hmm.
Imitate a human's tones and emotions. This stuff is going to just continue to get better, Will.
I'm scared.
Eventually, it'll just be conversations between people that have never met, and you'll be entertained by it.
And our jobs are done.
AI chatting with AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks very much for joining here today. Definitely keep an eye on the main channel for this Apple Watch update. Didn't even dent it during this entire show that we were recording. It's all very interesting.
Is that 8% right now?
It was 9. Still 9.
Jeez.
I got to turn the airplane mode off, and I'm going to listen to some more music maybe for half an hour or an hour on the AirPods and try to burn it even further. But go watch the video. You'll find out what happened, how long it made it. It's 3:17 on this clock at this time. Thanks for joining us here today, and we'll catch you on the next one. Later.